All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I'm joined by Charles McDonald of Setting the Edge podcast, of Football Outsiders, of the Falcoholic, and much, much more. We're going to be talking about this upcoming matchup between the Atlanta Falcons and the Los Angeles Rams in the wild card round of the NFL playoffs.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team. Every day.
All right, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, founder of FalcFans.com, one of the longest running Falcon fan sites on the internet. And I am joined, of course, by Charles McDonald, who is of many websites, spreading his knowledge around to the internet. Welcome back to the show, Charles.
Oh, it's glad to be back. Glad the Falcons are back here in the postseason. And I mean, I'm just keeping my expectations pretty low.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of the same way. I think they can win tomorrow, yeah, when people are listening to this on Friday. But I'm not necessarily going to be one of those people that's like, oh, if they lose, then, you know, the world is ending or anything like that.
No, I mean, I think the Falcons year is just kind of like, if you could sum it up, it'd be like that Julio drop versus the Panthers. They're close to being a good team, but you know, they're just sloppy, and you know, the Falcons. So,
yeah, a lot of potential, but not quite as much execution, I guess you could say. Let's talk about Aaron Donald. I am a Pitt alum, so I've long been a fan of Aaron Donald. I know you are a fan of Aaron Donald. You wrote about him earlier this year on Football Outsiders. There's been a lot of talk about him being the defensive player of the year. I know Robert Mays wrote a nice piece up on The Ringer earlier today in which he was talking to various offensive linemen and how they try and fail to block him, as well as I've seen some other videos on YouTube and whatnot breaking down his stuff and recently as well. So I'm asking you, Charles, as our, you know, as close as an expert on Aaron Donald as we're going to get on this podcast, is there any way that you can stop him?
No. The thing with Aaron Donald is he's one of those players like where you go into a game and as a fan you just can't be upset, you shouldn't be upset when that player makes, you know, a handful of amazing plays a game. Like, you just know that he's gonna get his. He beats up on the best offensive lineman in the league like it's nothing. Ben Garland, if he's subbing in for Andy Levitre, is certainly not one of the best left guards in the league, so he'll have his hands full for that matchup. But yeah, I don't think there's any way you can slow him down. And it's cool, like the way that Wade Phillips uses him, because Wade Phillips, like, he usually plays a traditional 3-4, but he has a video on YouTube where he talks about if he gets a player that's really special. He cited Bruce Smith and J.J. Watt, and now he has Aaron Donald. He kind of lets those guys do really whatever they want up front because he knows that they're fast enough to recover, athletic enough to recover. So, yeah, Donald's a beast. Wade's going to unleash him, let him go free, and wreak havoc like he has been all year.
Now, you know, you talk about the Ben Garland matchup. Donald spends, you know, about an equal amount of time on either side of the center position, so he's going to be matched up with Garland and Wes Schweitzer. So it's really just going to be him just pinballing back and forth between those two guys. You think there's anything the Falcons can really sort of do to scheme around him? Is it like screens? Is it trying to, you know, do those toss plays or outside zone runs to the outside? That's just sort of you're not going to stop him, but you're trying to do your best to sort of minimize his ability to basically single-handedly blow up a play, right?
Yeah. I think screens, would be the right way. I think screens would be a good way, just because he can be a little bit over aggressive up the field. And I mean, like, when you can run a 4.6 at 285 pounds, yeah, you're going to try to get to the backfield every single time that you can. But there are times like when he does get too far up the field. So if you just kind of throw it behind him, that's a space in the defense. I think another way you can kind of use his aggressiveness against him is if you run like trap plays and get him up the field and then block him with a pulling guard, or even an influence trap where you don't block him at all and just move on to the next level. But Yeah, it's going to have to be, you know, shifts on the offensive line, double teams, screens, trap plays, just to slow him down a little bit.
Okay. You know, Donald is sort of the star of the Rams defense. Todd Gurley is the star of the Rams offense. I'm curious, though, before we talk about Gurley, I'm curious, though, what's your thoughts on this Sean McVay offense? Is it basically the Shanahan offense that we ran a year ago? And does that mean that the Falcons may have, you know, a little bit better formula for slowing it down than maybe other teams?
Man, like, McVay's offense is just, it's a little bit of everything. And, you know, he was the tight ends coach for Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan in Washington before, I think Jay Gruden kept him, before Jay Gruden kept him on as a offensive coordinator when he got there. But you definitely see like that Shanahan influence where they're going to call the bootleg plays and take those deep crosser shots downfield off of play action. He's got some Andy Reid stuff in there where if they get into the red zone, sometimes they'll use a shovel option or even just like just straight up read option plays in that scheme. It's they throw so much at you and they do everything well and they create so many big plays. Like, it's just hard to stay on track with what they do all the time. And the way that they even use Todd Gurley in the receiving game, one thing that I think the Rams are really good at is they counter off blitzes really well. So if they see you come with a blitz, they'll just throw Andrew Whitworth out in space in front of Todd Gurley on a screenplay, and we've seen him take a handful of those like 60, 70, 80 yards to the house. So they throw a lot at you. They have a lot of speed on offense, and their offensive line is so much better than last year.
Yeah, Greg Robinson and Andrew Whitworth is about as huge a jump as you could possibly make.
Yeah, and they got that old center from Minnesota, John Sullivan. He's had a pretty good year too. And Roger Saffold. Like, all three guys on the left, they just really made a huge, huge leap over last year.
Now, I'm thinking like the Falcons, the only way that you can really slow down an offense like that is you got to win up front, because that was some of the problems that our offense ran into last year. Most of the games that we lost, typically teams were able to win up front, like the Chiefs game and the Eagles game, and San Diego kicked our butts as well. And New England was able to do a lot in that Super Bowl that I know you forgot about. I'm curious.
What game?
I'm curious, like, you look at the right side of the, I think if there's a vulnerability on the Rams offensive line, it's that right side where Jamon Brown and Rob Havenstein are. Do you think this is another game where Vic Beasley can do what he did last year against Havenstein? Or, you know, I was watching a little bit of Havenstein, and I'm like, maybe the Falcons might be better off throwing a lot more attack McKinley on that side, just because it seems like Havenstein is pretty vulnerable to that bull rush. What are your thoughts on sort of the Falcons, the left side of the Falcons defensive line, like Beasley and Jared and whoever else, you know, being the key to slowing down this Rams offense?
Yeah, I think that's where they're going to have to try to exploit it, because like Roger Saffold last year, he was terrible, but maybe he was hurt or something. I don't remember. But this year, he's been awesome, along with Whitworth, of course, and John Sullivan. But on the right side, with Havenstein, like you said, everyone remembers that 4-sack game that Vic had last year where he scored a touchdown too. But I don't think Havenstein is quite as bad as he was last year, but he's still not a great player. But if you're going to exploit a side, it's got to be that side with Havenstein and Jamon Brown. So I think maybe you try getting Claiborne matched up on Jamon Brown if you can, or Tack McKinley, like have them both on that side. Like, I think those are the guys you want to send your best rushers at, because on the other side, it's been tough sliding against Andrew Whitworth.
Yeah. Now, I do want to respond to that, but I want to let the people know before I do that, that lots of juniors and seniors are declaring for the NFL draft. And if you want to stay locked on to that, then you should check out host John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, wherever podcasts can be found. And, you know, you mentioned Gurley being a key part of that. Like, the Falcons have struggled at times this year handling receiving running backs, and the Gurley is a little bit different than, say, Theo Riddick or LeSean McCoy, just because he can run around you and he can run through you. and, you know, tackling and physicality aren't necessarily the strengths of the Falcon linebacker core, even though Deion Jones has played, like, really well over the last month of the season. Do you feel like this is a game where the Falcons can do kind of like what they did with against Alvin Kamara in Week 16 and maybe try to match up Keanu Neal at times against Gurley to try to get at least a little bit more of a physical player at that spot?
Yeah, I think they can. And I think if there's a source of optimism for the Falcons going into this game, I mean, obviously, you know, the Rams offense, they're a juggernaut. Like, they're not as good as the Falcons offense was last year, but like in that realm of like they can take you to the house on any given play. But I think that the Falcons speed overall in the back seven does help them. Like, I think that having guys who can run like Deion Jones or Keanu Neal, that gives you a lot of flexibility with how you want to match up with Todd Gurley or even Jared Everett, the tight end in the passing game. And I think that in the back seven, like in the secondary too, I like Desmond Trufant's chances against Sammy Watkins or Robert Woods, and I like Robert Alford's chances against whoever Desmond Trufant isn't covering. But I think for the Falcons, it's going to be more about like staying on their ones and twos, because this offense uses a lot of motion. They use a lot of misdirection to try to get the ball in space. So that I think that the Falcons physically can easily match up to the Rams offense, but it's going to be more about how do they communicate, how do they, you know, stay with their keys and not get burned for big plays.
Yeah, I think you know, the great thing about the Falcons secondary is, like, outside of, I think, the Minnesota game, because I was worried about Thielen given the injuries we had, and the Bucs game, just because Mike Evans typically gives both Alford and Trufant trouble, I don't think I've ever really thought about what the other team's receivers were going to do against this offense this entire season. And, like, even though the Rams receivers are all playing really well this year, Sammy Watkins, you know, is their big-time deep threat. Robert Woods, you know, left Buffalo and suddenly looks like a high-level NFL receiver. Cooper Kupp's been excellent for them in the slot this year. I'm not too worried about their wide receivers. Like, as always in every game, you know, wide receivers are going to make some catches and cornerbacks are going to get beat from time to time. But I don't ever feel like the Falcons ever go into a game feeling like their secondary is going to ever be overmatched, with the exception of those few exceptions when, you know, it was stealing against some backup guys and Mike Evans, just because he's a top five NFL wide receiver. So I think that's a positive sign, and that allows the Falcons to really sort of key in on a guy like Gurley, which gives them, you know, if they can sort of keep him contained, you don't have to necessarily shut him down. You feel like the rest of the defense will be able to hold its own against the other weapons that they have, and that can sort of put a lid on maybe the Rams putting up those 30-plus points that on a different defense or a lesser defense or a less athletic defense would be a much more bigger problem.
Yeah, and the Rams, they did struggle to score in their early season matchup against the Seahawks. I mean, obviously the Seahawks are way, way, way more healthy back then. So, you know, just to see, just to look at that game, Jared Goff went 22 for 47, two picks. Todd Gurley was held to 43 yards on 14 carries. So I think that the Falcons defense, like, stylistically obviously matches up with that early season Seattle team. It's just going to be more about execution, and tackling is going to be huge for this game, because Gurley's already low to bring down, and if you let him get some steam in the open field, he can outrace the secondary.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but I think that's why you gotta win up front. Like, I can't remember which game it was, whether it was New Orleans or Minnesota, but that was one of the games where the Rams really struggled on third downs, and they gotten a lot of third and longs in that game, and it was largely due to, you know, that team, whether it was the Saints or Vikings, I can't remember which one. They got a bunch of sacks on, like, first and second down when they would go back to pass. And it's like, it's those little things where it's like your defensive line needs to be able to create pressure. And that's why you need to make guys like Jermon Brown and Rob Havenstein look more like liabilities in this playoff game. And that's really what the playoffs are about. Like, you want to make that team basically, like, you want to end the Rams season and have them, all their fans and all the media people be like, oh, yeah, man, Rob Havenstein stinks. We need to upgrade him because he gave up 3 sacks in this game. Or Jermon Brown stinks because he gave up X number of pressures or whatever the case may be. And if you, the Falcons defense, if individual defenders can have those sorts of games that make other guys look bad, that's going to be very beneficial for the Falcons.
Yep, I'm with you. And if I think there is an area for the Rams offensive line to be exploited. I mean, they obviously make a lot of big plays, but they are, you know, it's kind of like the Falcons offense from last year where they did give up a lot of tackles for losses. And I think that I don't know how much it had to do with them losing the Super Bowl in the end, but it's just like, it was funny to see that they scored a lot of points, but still gave up a lot of plays in the backfield. So for our numbers, we have on Setting the Edge, we measure tackle for loss percentage value, which is really just how you relate to the NFL average, like in terms of tackles for loss allowed per attempt. And then you just kind of multiply that by the amount of attempts you have. So the Rams, they averaged about 9 more tackles for losses this season than the average NFL offense did. So they were -9 in terms of tackle for loss percentage value, which ranked 24th in the league. So and the Falcons defense, they've actually improved a lot in that area over the back half of the season. Like, they were in the bottom 5 for the majority of the season, but they finished the season ranked 15th, and the run defense really improved too. So I think that that's an area that the Falcons might be able to exploit, especially without Grady Jarrett's been playing, and I think even Poe has been able to get into the backfield some, and Courtney Upshaw. So when you just kind of look at where that's been trending, where the Falcons' defensive line has definitely been trending up, and the Rams' offensive line, you know, it's good, but they do allow some big plays. They do allow some big defensive plays in the run game. So I think that that's going to be an area that the Falcons could be able to exploit. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we get some big Grady Jarrett plays in this game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And one of the things I noticed, and I didn't watch a ton of a film of the Rams offense. It was just like, okay, just got to watch one game. They're good. Like, you don't need to break down like 4 games or anything like that. But one of the things I did notice was, like, I think Jared Goff still struggles a little bit with pressure. I know, according to Pro Football Focus numbers, like, he had like the 3rd or 4th lowest accuracy percentage on plays where he was pressured in the league this year. And so, like, I do think you can sort of get his eye level to dip a little bit if you can get guys in his face. So I do think, like, the Falcons defensive line, if they, you know, they have one of the better games that they've had all season long, I think not only getting those penetrating plays on early downs against the run puts them in, you know, longer 3rd and long situations, but when you get those situations and our guys can pin their ears back, I think we can beat these offensive linemen and really, you know, make Goff look like basically a first time starting quarterback in the postseason, which often is usually not necessarily a recipe for success for those teams.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun game, though. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, ditto. You know, you've been pushing the Julio needs to get the ball bandwagon all season long, and this is a game where I'm like, generally I've been like, no, the Falcons offense is better when they spread the ball around, but this is kind of a game where I'm like, I think they need to just feed Julio. He's going to be probably shadowed by Tremaine Johnson, who's a good cornerback, but certainly not a guy that should be able to check Julio one-on-one. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, feed Julio. I would say feed Julio, and I think this is a week that you need to, you know, we've been saying every week, I feel like, but I think that this is a week that Tevin really needs to be a target in the passing game, just because I think that the Rams, I like the Rams secondary, especially Tremaine Johnson, like you said, LaMarcus Joyner is a stud, and they have this rookie safety, John Johnson from Boston College, who's been, I mean, he was the reason that they felt comfortable letting go of Mo Alexander earlier in the year, because this kid's so good, and he was like their 3rd-round pick. So I'd like their secondary, but I think that their backers are successful, or, you know, they're kind of weak in their coverage. So, like, Mark Barron and Alec Ogletree, I think that Tevin Coleman should have no problem getting open against either of them. So a lot of Julio, a lot of Tevin, and then just kind of let the rest fall in place. But I don't think Sark's going to give Tevin the targets that he needs to be great.
I hope, yeah. You know, I hope he will. But you're right. I'm not I'm more confident than I was probably 2 weeks ago, but since we've at least seen him get a couple of targets on those wheel routes out of the backfield the last couple of games. But it is one of those things where it's like, yeah, we do need to see that number go up from like two or three targets to like five or six or if not more. So we'll see how it goes. All right. Falcons are in the playoffs, but they're not the only team in the playoffs. If you want to get the scoop on all the playoff matchups, then go ahead and check out Matt Williamson on Locked On NFL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, wherever podcasts can be found. All right, Charles. That's it. I don't have anything else. Is there anything else that you wanted to add about this game that you're looking forward to seeing?
I just hope that Wade Phillips just kind of takes it easy on Sark. You know, Sark's first playoff game. So if you're listening to this, Wade, which I know that you definitely are, just take it easy on all the old Sark and give him a chance, you know, because I know that you're a lot better at him than this, but you don't have to go full blast on him.
There you go.
That's actually like the one area that concerns me. Like, I fully believe that Dan Quinn and Marcon Emanuel can come up with a plan to take on Sean McVay. I don't know if I believe that Sark is ready to go take on Wade Phillips in a playoff game. Like, that's one area that kind of sucks.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that, and that's kind of why I'm like, you know, just throw the ball to Julio and let's see what happens.
Yeah, yeah, what? Yeah, if you're gonna be out, if you're gonna lose the chess piece, just throw it to the cyborg.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Score predictions?
You got one?
30-23 Rams.
Hey,
but I do think that Falcons fans should feel pretty, even if they lose on Saturday, I do think they should feel pretty good about this team moving forward.
Okay. Well, I'm a little bit more optimistic. I think the Falcons will pull it off. I think it's going to be like 27-23 Falcons. I think we will be able to make Jared Goff look bad. I think that's going to be the key to the game.
Maybe he's going to have PTSD from last year with the five sacks and the pick six.
Yeah, I think so. Like, that's my hope. I'm hoping Julio has a big game. I'm hoping Jared Goff struggles. And that's what I'm pinning my hopes on. And I think the Falcons can do those things, but it's always just a question of will they.
Yep.
Yep.
As it always is.
All right, man. Plug what you got going on at Setting the Edge or anything you got upcoming for Football Outsiders or any other place that you're at.
So we have like our podcast on Setting the Edge. And now that it's draft season, we're going to be writing some draft reports there. And Football Outsiders, I don't know if we're going to do film rooms for the playoffs or if we're going to start doing draft stuff now. I should probably ask Aaron that. But yeah, I'll have something coming next week. Either about the playoffs or about a draft prospect. I'm probably about the playoffs, though.
So. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to the offseason, Charles. I'm sure we will have you back on to talk about Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen versus Sam Darnold versus Josh Rosen. It's going to be fun. It seems like every year the quarterback conversation gets better and better. Certainly when you're someone like me who just enjoys drama as opposed to someone who's actually invested in one guy versus the other guy.
Yeah, it's fun. I just like making people mad for the most part.
Yeah, clearly. So check out Charles on Twitter at @4verts, where you can get his takes on why Josh Allen stinks, why Lamar Jackson is the GOAT, and I'll still be riding for Josh Rosen as I have been since the 2015 season when we thought he was going to replace Matt Ryan, or at least I did. But thanks again, Charles, and hope to talk to you soon.
All right,
man. Peace.
Later.
Okay, guys. Great conversation with Charles. You know, people always complain. There's not enough positivity on this podcast, and I think we provided you with the blueprint for the Falcons winning this game on this episode. So, you know. Whether you choose to believe that the Falcons are able to do these things or not, as you guys know, I'm always a little skeptical. But I've decided, you know, at least moving forward, generally speaking, if the Falcons are in the playoffs, I'm going to tend to side on the I believe that they can do the thing that they can do. and be a little bit more optimistic in January than I typically am in September, October through December and whatnot. So that's the plan. And hopefully they win tomorrow. Hopefully, you know, we will have a rapid reaction on Sunday morning. So you can wake up, watch, listen to that, and then get prepared for those Sunday's afternoon games. And then, you know, Monday we'll probably have another reaction show, recap episode. And then after that point, who knows? We'll probably do the All 22 at some point that following week. Who knows if we're going to have a preview episode up in the middle of the week or later in that week? Who can say? So that's the plan for next week, and that's what's coming up. If you guys have suggestions or questions, you can always send them over to me. I'm on Twitter at FalcFans. If it's podcast related, just let me know. But the easiest way to let me know about podcast-related tweets is just by sending them over to Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. If you don't like Twitter character limits, hit me up on Facebook. Locked On Falcons is the Facebook page. Email address is lockedonfalcons@mail.com. You can also post a comment on lockedonfalcons.com or falcfans.com, where the show is posted daily. Speaking of lockedonfalcons.com, as you guys are potentially listening to this, maybe some of you earliest morning people or some of you overseas folks that are like hours ahead of us. You know, it's practically Saturday for you guys. But at some point Friday morning, you should be able to head over to LockedOnFalcons.com and check out the leftover mailbags. I answer a series of questions that were not answered on Wednesday's Q&A All 22 review. Let me see if I can recall what there's three questions off the top of my head. One is about who's going to cover Todd Gurley. One is about how much did drop passes affect Matt Ryan's numbers. And if the question was, if the Falcons dropped a quote unquote average amount of passes, what would Matt Ryan's numbers look like? And then the third question is about who would potentially replace Andre Roberts as a return specialist if he does not sit out on Saturday's game. Speaking of which, let's wrap things up by talking about the injury report. The Falcons aren't listing anybody as questionable. A couple of guys are still limited in practice on Thursday for Saturday's game, including Alex Mack and Devontae Freeman and I believe Julio Jones, but I think Adrian Claiborne got full participation. Somebody else got full participation. Roberts was limited, I think, if my recollection is not off the mark. Probably should have looked that up before I went on air. See, this tells you how much preparation I do on this show. Very little. I think it's a positive sign. Devontae being back, we talked about that earlier this week. Alex Mack not being questionable. Obviously the fact that he was limited in practice doesn't necessarily suggest that he's, you know, back at full strength, but, you know, him, Julio, and Devontae are critical pieces for the Falcons' success on Sunday, and the fact that they will play, whether they're going to be playing at 80% or 85% or 90% or whatever the number you want to throw at it, you know, remains to be seen. But the fact that, you know, all the three of those guys are at least above 80%, that's a positive for the Falcons. It's better than nothing, right? With Mac, you know, he's going to be critical to some of those double teams that the Falcons are going to need to slow down Aaron Donald. So, you know, the healthier he is, the better for that. So that's that, guys. And I don't have anything else to say, you know. Hopefully the Falcons will rise up. You guys are in my brotherhood. And go ahead and stay locked on.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.